Morning, and welcome to episode 10 of the Reticule Presents Installing to Disk. Yes, we're back with our big 1-0. It's a time for celebration for our 10th episode of the Reticule Presents Installing to Disk. I'm Jordez, and with me as per usual is...
Turkish D.
No.
Well, I just thought it would be a bit more interesting. I like Turkish Delight, and if you take the
Nobody
Elite
likes
bit,
Turkish Delight.
I like Turkish Delight. If you take the Elite bit out of Delight, you get D, and Turkish D sounds like a rapping name.
Okay, but let's go for your usual name.
All right, whatever. Nicknameless James.
Yes, and that's to be... Well, this basically sums up the podcast. It's a bit of chaos for another 30 minutes. But what is there on this episode? In the news, we have news, unsurprisingly, about Kickstarter and their UK exploits. In the retro roundup, James has been playing Little Computer People.
The word playing... We'll come to that.
Okay, and in the rumour room, what do we have, James?
It's all quite insubstantial this week. There's a smattering of quite... insubstantial rumours, so I wouldn't look too forward to it.
Okay, and finally, in the game of the week, I've been at Resd this week, so look out for that one. Let's kick things off, though, with the news. Kickstarter will be accepting UK-based projects from this autumn. Previously, Kickstarter have actually only accepted Kickstarters set up in the USA.
I had no idea about that. I just assumed it was everywhere.
No, you needed a US location, like an address. But from this autumn, it's opening up to the UK as well. So hopefully we'll get to see a lot of UK-based indie devs get involved on that.
Because what is it? Is it Rocket something that people in the UK use? I can't remember. Rocket.
I know which one you're on about. There's Indiegogo, which is a different one, and Rocket Hub.
Yeah, I know someone who's on that, and I was a bit surprised that they weren't on Kickstarter, and that explains why.
Yeah. So how it'll affect the UK indie industry should be quite interesting to look at. Valve have announced Steam Greenlight, a community-driven service that will allow independent developers to get on Steam. This is basically Steam allowing people to vote on what indie devs they want to be able to buy from on Steam. Everyone seems to be in love with the indies at the moment.
So, is this some kind of competition thing where a developer wins the chance to be on Steam? What's the premise for this?
In a sense, yes. The way I believe it is that indie developers apply to Steam, and if Steam don't see them fit to be on, then they'll just put it to the community.
And oh, okay.
If they get enough votes, then they get in. That's how I've seen it. That might not be the actual way it's done, but I...
Seems legit.
Yeah. Well, it's a win-win for pretty much everyone, to be honest. And it's slightly surprising they've not done it before. But yeah, indie love all round. And finally, Sony have bought cloud gaming service Gaikai for $380 million. This was something that you actually mentioned in the rumour room just before E3.
Yeah, it was something quite a while ago that I actually made up and happened to be right.
Yes, it's quite fortunate. During E3, we kind of got thrown off because Gaikai actually announced a partnership with Samsung, which we thought meant that the Sony dealer was dead, but no, they brought it back. And $380 million, that is quite a lot of money for Sony, who have been not doing too well on the financial side of things. It does show where Sony are looking to take the company in the future as well. You'd expect with the PlayStation 4 after this acquisition that they're going to be streaming a lot. It's going to have the capabilities to stream games.
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much now, as there is a kind of rumor related to this. But what I will say is I read a headline online, not an actual article, but a headline that said that Gaikai will not be kind of PlayStation exclusive, so they're still going to try and keep it quite multi-platform.
Be interesting to see if they do that. I mean, if Sony owned them, then I doubt that they're going to be too happy with them being able to play on Microsoft systems. But what I was thinking that in short term that I can imagine happen is that they'll use it with Home. So, like, you can go to one of the little auditoriums in Home and then, like, stream a demo of a game. And that's the only way I can see the PS3 using it anytime soon. I'll do that through the PlayStation Store.
Yeah, Home would be pretty good. That might expand the user base then from about 6 people to, you know, 12, 13, something like that. Somewhere between 600 and 700 people might start using it. Is it bad that Home is one of the reasons I wanted a PlayStation?
Yes, it is. Yeah, with Home, it seems like a lifestyle simulator that I've never been fond of in general. I mean, Home and Second Life and, like, even The Sims. And you've been playing a game like that recently in The Retro Roundup.
Right, okay, that was your link, this is my link. Home is backwards is also the past. Done. See that?
Okay,
I can see on my recording software that was exactly about 2.5 seconds.
Okay, are you insulting my links now? Do you want to do them all?
No, I was just saying that link of mine was more to the point.
Fine, you had a more concise link. Congratulations.
Do I get an award for that when we do our yearly awards?
Well, no, because you've brought about this conversation, which has been another minute, which we could have been talking about little computer
this
people.
This isn't a link.
We could be talking about little computer people, which you were playing last week.
Yes.
Verdict.
Okay, well, let me just say something. Okay, I've said in the past that I like these old games. You know, games that came out a long time ago. They're on old machines.
We get it, they're
old.
I
like them. The covers are nice. They look nice. The music's simple. It's good. They're games. They're games that I like. They're games. They're games. Games. See if you can pick up on the important word of that sentence. Games. I don't get how it was a game. I didn't do anything. It's what the hell is going on? You boo it up and then some person randomly walks around the house and you're able to type in some kind of statement, some command for them to do. They never listen to you. I might as well be writing in French or Arabic and they still don't bloody well listen. I tell them to play the piano and they go and turn the oven on. What is the point? I could have spent the week regrouting the bathroom and instead I was playing this crap game that's got nothing to do with anything ever. It's not even a game. I'm so annoyed thinking about it. Why did you put that me through that?
So, thumbs up?
No. I don't get it. There's no... With The Sims, you get a lot of feedback and you know what you need to do to make their lives bearable. You know that they need a shower. You know they're about to crap themselves. You know that they're scared of fire. But in this, I only found out afterwards when reading online that you can ask your person to write down their feelings. And it's only from that that you know what they want. Other than that, it's just, it's a glorified screensaver.
But had we not had little computer people, we may not have even got to The Sims. So it was a necessary stepping stone to greater things. Well, I say greater things, I hate The Sims, but still.
So, yeah, I'm not terribly impressed. I think the worst thing of all was that you have to type in commands, and I was emulating said game on a device with no keyboard. So,
yeah, that does hamper the game a bit.
Yeah, saying sit down, typing that in, he's usually already gone to bed, slept for the night, woken up, gone to the toilet, had a shower, and played with the dog for about 20 minutes by the time I've typed that in. So, it's not one of the finest moments of the retro roundup, I must say.
Okay, so thumbs down then.
Thumbs down. Are you going to give me a game this week?
Yes, and I will give you one of the most celebrated games of the past 20 years, and I've just noticed it's
Spyro.
Actually 20 years old this year, which is
Spyro.
Really depressing.
Spyro.
The game that popularised FPSs, Wolfenstein 3D.
Nice. That's the one where you get to shoot Hitler, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Robo Hitler. Yes, he's the final boss.
Wicked.
Yes, there's little I can say about Wolfenstein 3D because everyone knows that it's just a classic FPS that was so important in shaping how the video game industry from then. Originally actually released as shareware, which people forget. The first like chapter of the game was released for everyone, but that's how the industry worked back in the early 90s before all the publishers decided that sharing is bad and should be shot in the face. So, yes, this week, Wolfenstein 3D.
Nice. I'll tell you what, Wolfenstein 3D was real, wasn't it? It was factual. I'll tell you what isn't factual, rumours.
See, this is why we don't let you do links.
What do you mean? They're so concise.
So, yes, let's move on to the Rumour Room.
Rumour.
Yep. Do you have any rumours for us?
Yes, let's begin with the Xbox Nigel once again.
Yay.
This time, Xbox has secured multiple domain website things for Xbox 8. Those of you who are familiar with numbers will know the shape of an 8, and it will realise that it relates to this kind of Xbox loop, Xbox Infinity kind of things that have been mentioned in the past. Also, you've got Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, so it could be a kind of coming together of everything Microsoft-wise. So, I just think it'll be a bit strange to go from, well, Xbox naming in general, Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox 8. There's no kind of...
Oh, are you implying that the name of the console will be Xbox 8?
Yes.
Oh, I thought there'd be some sort of operating system, like just a corruption of Windows 8 that would work on Xbox, and that would be the name of the operating system.
Oh, I don't know, I'm really thinking console. I mean, the websites they've got Xbox 8 US, Xbox8.org. It just seems a bit weird for an operating system to get its own website.
It just seems weird calling in Xbox 8 because it would imply that it's the 8th iteration of a console.
Exactly. This is what I was saying earlier. With the PlayStation, you know where you are. With Xbox.
Yeah.
360, 8. Nigel. Nigel needs to be the name. Nigel. Nigel is someone you can trust. Faith in Nigel.
It's not going to be called the Xbox Nigel despite our advocacy of it.
No, I honestly think Faith in Nigel was one of the strongest marketing campaigns the world has ever seen. Famous Nigels. Who's a famous Nigel? Nigel Mansell? That moustache? The console could have a moustache? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For the reticule, I'm going to do my interpretation of what the next generation Xbox is going to look like.
Please do.
I will. Look forward to that. Look out for it. It's going to appear at some point. Shall we move on?
Yes, please, please, please.
Right. Let me just adjust my microphone again. In the past, I've mentioned Mass Effect 3 DLC. I think it was the first DLC from Ashes to Ashes, Dust to Dust, Fun to Funky, whatever it was called. That rumour was around before Mass Effect 3 was even released.
That basically sums up Mass Effect 3. We know about the DLC before the game.
Yeah, and now there appears to be some information that may potentially be about more DLC, and some files have leaked online that show some in-game conversations between characters, and it appears to show DLC, or it could be a discarded mission that didn't make it into the game, so it could go either way. But it's about a rogue reaper called Leviathan, and he's mentioned back in the first Mass Effect. The reason I'm saying that quite carefully is I haven't played Mass Effect, so I don't know if I'm pronouncing anything right, but looks as though there could be more DLC. Then again, looks as though there could not be more DLC, so take from that what you will.
Well, I would expect that. I can see no reason why it wouldn't be released as DLC, even if it has been a discarded mission, unless it went on like a story tangent, which they didn't progress. But I can definitely see that coming.
Okay.
Rumour confirmed.
Sony have submitted some documents to the Federal Communications Commission showing that there's a new PlayStation 3 model, and this has been dubbed the Super Slim. You've got the model numbers on the back of the console, and they're all like CE blah 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 3000 stuff like that, and then this new one is shown as CECH 4001X, which shows that it's a completely new model. And I mean, the PlayStation 3 Slim was announced at Gamescom 3 years ago. It must have been, because I got it before I went to uni. 4 years ago. Something like that.
It can't be 4 years ago. 4 years ago was 2008. The console only came out in 2007 in UK.
It must have been 2009 then. So, yeah, 2009.
Yeah, fits in.
That was announced at Gamescom that year, and we could see the Super Slim at this year's Gamescom.
I was about to say that I'd be surprised at them doing this so late in the console's life cycle, but then again, they did the same with the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2. Those Slim consoles only came out right at the end of the console's life cycle, so wouldn't surprise me too much. It's just, they'd have to bring the price down as well. I mean, if it's slimmer.
Is it going to be the equivalent of that new PSP?
The Vita or the PSP Go?
They did another version of the PSP, didn't they, not that long ago, which was...
Oh, yeah, the European one that didn't have
brand
something.
New. Yeah, a few things weren't in it. Maybe this PS3 will be like that. It won't have certain features. I don't know what they can take out. They took out a lot when they went from fat to slim, didn't they?
Yeah, so they took out like Linux support and multiple USBs. The only thing I can think would be a diskless one, but that would be... I don't see that happening at all.
Could be, though, now you've said that.
It could be, but I don't think it will at all. I don't see it.
I mean, I've been on the PlayStation Store more in the last week or so than I have done for a long time. I'm surprised just how many games are now on there.
Yeah, I subscribed to PlayStation Plus recently, and
yeah, same here.
They were offering like 10 free games, and they were good ones, like Little Big Planet 2 and Infamous 2. Granted, they were games I already owned, but still.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was discless.
I would, but... Well,
there we go. We'll see what happens. Then we'll see who's the most surprised. We'll have a shockometer when that comes out. Right, we've mentioned the Xbox Nigel, the moustache-clad next generation from Microsoft, and now we've got the PlayStation 4, some rumours from this. Someone on LinkedIn, a guy who works for Sony, has listed what he's been working on. He's been there for quite a few years, he mentions... earlier PlayStations, and then PlayStation Vita, and then since, where is it, 2010? Yeah, from August 2010, he's been working on what he calls next generation PlayStation. So, just a bit of extra ideas of when that potentially could have been in development since.
It seems a bit too late for me, but that could be when he got on board, as opposed to from when it was
originally conceived. With it being LinkedIn. Far more personal. Staying with Sony, since purchasing... How do you say it? Do you say Gaikai?
Yeah, I say Gaikai.
Gaikai. I don't like saying it, because I have a horrible feeling that I sound a lot more brummy when I say it.
Gaikai.
Gaikai. Since buying Gaikai... Since they've bought that company that can't be mentioned... There have been thoughts that, you know, it's... We've seen that you can stream with on live. You can have Crysis 2 running on an iPad. So there's been thoughts that the PlayStation 4 could run on the PlayStation 3.
Ooh, that is an interesting concept.
Which would be very interesting. And I was thinking the other night that this is all not going to happen, because we've said in the past, infrastructure isn't there for streaming this kind of stuff. It's not going to be around for a while yet, but they could potentially have a really simple system that costs like £50 to buy. It's dead simple stuff. It's literally just a receiver and a output, and then you just stream all these games. And I mean, they could do that. They won't, but they could do. And there have been people wondering whether the PS4 will be the PS3.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because Sony traditionally like hemorrhage money on the consoles themselves and just make it up through software sales. So this would be a method to alleviate that problem in a sense. I mean, the PlayStation 3 only became profitable as a console after like 3 years, was it?
Oh, something like that.
So yeah, I don't see it happening myself, but it's
yeah. I mean, I have to agree with what you said earlier, though. It will be good for demos, because Ridge Racer, I think?
Ridge Racer!
Demo took me about 3 hours to download, and I played it for about 3 minutes before I realised I hated it.
Was that the last retro rumour?
Turns out it was.
Yes. Cool. So, let's move on now to Game of the Week. We'll Game. Kick off with you, I think. Have you been playing anything recently?
I have. I've been playing MotorStorm Apocalypse.
Yay!
Which is a game that I have previously slated, and I will continue to now.
Ooh.
No, I don't really know. I mean, I liked it more than I thought I would. I mean, the demo didn't really give me great impressions, but the game, I don't know, it just felt quite insubstantial. I didn't really... The story didn't really come across all that well.
Yeah, the story was atrocious. They should have just left it out. It was really detrimental to the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When I was playing it, I couldn't tell if I was in a tutorial or an actual story. And at no point did I feel as though I had switched into a proper game mode.
Okay.
But, I mean, otherwise, I like the setting. Really nice, all the kind of post-apocalyptic stuff going on. But these kind of events that happen that you look at, I got really tired of them. And the fact that a lot of these events change the track on the last lap got a bit tiring when I'd be driving in first place down a straight. And then the camera would zoom in without me wanting to a crane about 3 miles away. You see the top blow off. And then all of a sudden it lands right in front of me. And I go from first to seventh. I just found it really tiring. And something else was that in the first MotorStorm game, there seemed to be more of an emphasis on certain pathways on the track built for certain vehicles. Did you play the first MotorStorm?
I've played them all.
So you remember on the first game, there was one track, for instance, where there was one side route, which was incredibly muddy and packed with all debris and cars, and you could only go down in a big rig, and then you have like rickety wooden pathway kind of things that only motorbikes could go down. But in Apocalypse, regardless of what vehicle you're in, you can do anything, you can take any path. And then I realised that all the paths are exactly the same length, so regardless of what car you pick, what vehicle you pick, and what path you take, it's all the same. I think it's kind of a philosophical metaphor for life, is that regardless of who you are and where you are, in the end, you're still screwed.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. That was a bit of a disappointing aspect of it. But the track design on the whole, although it didn't offer much variation, was still very good.
Oh, yeah. I like the whole rooftop racing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I've been playing MotorStorm Apocalypse, and last night I downloaded Crysis. So I've only just started that. I had it on PC. I'm not really a big PC gamer. I couldn't really get into it. But something I've noticed is that the physics on the PlayStation seem really bizarre. The physics engine seems to be all over the place.
For what?
If on Crysis.
Okay.
If you jump up against the wall, you get launched off it about 60 miles an hour. Enemies will kind of crouch at random points when walking along. It's really bizarre. But yeah, I'll about a third of the way through that, so I'll talk more about that next time. You've got that to look forward to there, listeners.
Cool.
So what have you been playing, Jordan?
Well, this week, James, I've been at RES, the PC and Independent Game show, conference thing. So I've been playing many games. There's just a few I want to pick off here, though. Far Cry 3 was an unexpected surprise, to be honest.
Of course, one of the lesser known indie titles this year.
It's a PC game, shut up. Mechanically it's competent. It doesn't do anything particularly special. But
when a game's described as competent, it runs, I suppose.
Yeah. It's all grand and that, but I'm really intrigued about the whole insanity aspect. I mean, it was shown through the gameplay. It was actually the same. I got to play through the demo that was shown at E3.
So this is when he's in that kind of weird, ethereal dream world surrounded by TVs.
Yeah, that was it. And
it's essentially going on a drugs trip in a Currys Digital.
Yeah.
In the TV aisle.
But yeah, it's how they weave that into the actual gameplay. Like, you're walking through a building and then everything starts crumbling around you and stuff like that. Far Cry 3 was a really good one. I've written a full preview on the reticule.com, so you can go read it there. What else was I playing? I played a bit of Aliens Colonial Marines, another indie game, as I sure you'll will sarcastically point out. Yeah, played the online gameplay of that, and yeah, it's... with the asynchronous gameplay, I mean, with Aliens versus Marines. Surprisingly, playing as Marines was a lot more fun, which I didn't expect, because it's more of a standard FPS affair, playing as Marines, whereas playing as Aliens is more of a hack and slash. Just hanging around like a room and then not knowing at any point where an alien might come from, like it could crash through the roof and just murder you. It gives a real sense of tension that I've not felt in any FPS for a long time. That was another great one.
Is the Pred in it?
No, there's no Predators, unfortunately, because Alien vs. Predator never seems to work.
That'll be DLC. On-disc DLC. Turns out he was there all along.
Yeah, just there, hiding in the background. Just turns off his invisibility and boom, job done.
I wonder if G-Man on Half-Life is on disc DLC.
I also played Cube. That's Cube spelt with a Q. So Q-U-B-E. Yes, this was a puzzler where you've got to move different cubes around. It had a very clean aesthetic and similar in a sense to Portal 2. Portal in general. All very white, very like sterile backgrounds. And this was something I noticed in a couple of games. Antichamber was another independent puzzler that was also there, and which had a similar aesthetic. So it makes me wonder whether, like, basically we're going to see a lot of Portal aesthetics, for want of a better term. If you understand what I mean, please stop me.
Yeah, I understand you.
Cool. Both Cube and Antichamber. Antichamber is one you really want to look out for. I would love to explain it to you, but he's insane. So get on Google for that one.
I looked at it this morning. Chris Evans, he posted about you visiting Brighton. I sort of went on the link and saw Antichamber. It looks colourful. Yep. And mad. Absolutely insane. It's what I imagine kind of Beatles brainstorm sessions, kind of late 60s to be like.
Yeah, the final game I want to talk about is Tengami, which is a game for iPad and iPhone, possibly. I know it's on the iOS. This looks like it's such a crisply looking game, and it really showed the power of the iPad screen, because it was kind of like a paper cutout aesthetic, similar to Paper Mario, but more realistic, and it emulated classic Japan styles. And yeah, another puzzler, actually, come to think about it, a much more laid-back one. And seriously, just go have a look at the at Tengami, just how beautiful it looks. The show as a whole was, it really did give me some hope for gaming again. I mean, I kind of got tired of it a bit after E3 and all the bland shooters and talking to you, who was not exactly the most happy person about it.
How do you spell that game?
Tengami. T-E-N-G-A-M-I. But yeah, it shows that a lot of the innovation is, there's still a lot of innovation in the indie market, and even the PC games that were there, like Far Cry 3 and Aliens Colonial Marines, they're AAA games, but they did show a bit of innovation. I mean, Aliens Colonial Marines will probably be largely just another FPS, but the online mode does look very interesting. And yes, yeah, so I'm back happy with gaming again.
Well, that's reassuring.
And that will round up Game of the Week. And let's just finish this podcast with a look at the release schedule. And since we're still in... Wow, we're in July already. It's going to be a quick one. On the 5th, SimCity Social comes out for the PC, and that'll be available to play online.
Is that Facebook?
I believe so. I've not looked because I'm not a big fan of social games, but I would guess it would be. On the 6th, Theatre Rhythm Final Fantasy comes out for the 3DS.
This is that music one.
Yes, it's a music one based on the music of Final Fantasy, which is awesome, as we all know. And finally, on the 13th, Inversion comes out for PS3 and 3DS. This is a third-person shooter that allows you to control gravity. So yes, that is the release schedule.
Nothing there I want to purchase, must be said.
Yeah, it's been quite a poor year so far, to be honest. I can't think of many spectacular games that have come out in the past 7 months.
It's been a poor year in Greece. Satire.
So, yes, any other thoughts?
No, not particularly.
Well, we'll wrap up this episode then.
You know, us raps, don't you?
Yes.
Turkish D on the mic.
You're quite done.
Yeah.
Yes, so this podcast will be available to listen both on thereticule.com and iTunes. And yes, over at thereticule.com at the moment, you can look at all my views from Rezzed, a roundup of the entire show, a Far Cry 3 preview, an Aliens Colonial Marines preview, and possibly a bit more, but that's yet to come.
Yeah, and keep an eye out, because I'm going to do my theory of what the next Xbox will look like.
No.
Yes.
There's also a review of Resonance by Nick Wheeler, and there's a preview of Bleed, which is an indie game that will be coming this year. So go check that out. I've been Jordez, and with me has been...
Turkish D.
Any last words?
Moustache.
And I will, as always, go with goodbye.